tweet at Today SOR.
There's been much discussion in recent weeks about the dangers of unregulated facial recognition technology after it was revealed that one company has been stockpiling billions of our photos. The New York Times has described the company Clearview AI as the secretive company that might end privacy as we know it. Well, with me now in studio, Donie O'Sullivan, reporter for CNN, who covers disinformation, politics and technology. And he has actually interviewed the man behind this secretive company. Donie, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Tell me about Clearview AI. I presume AI stands for artificial intelligence. And run by a guy called Hoan Ton Thatt. Is that the correct pronunciation?
I think it's Hoan Ton Thatt, but it's a bit of a...
Hoan Ton Thatt, okay.
Bit of a tongue twister. Yeah, I met him a few weeks ago in New York. He's quite the character. He has built this massive database using pictures from our Facebook pages, Instagram, all our social media accounts and elsewhere too on the internet. And basically what he's able to do is he can take a picture of you or me and run our face through his system, and in a split second be able to find any picture of us that's in his database. So of the many pictures of you that are online, Sean, he'll be able to find it, identify you, and quickly
scary
tell
stuff.
You who you
and
are.
He kind of proved it to yourself in a very graphic way how good he is.
He did. So I was the guinea pig. I signed up and said, all right, run my face through the system. And of course, I'm on social media, so I expected maybe he might find my Twitter account and Facebook and things like that, which he did, which is quite scary in itself. But as we were scrolling down through the images, he found, I think, about maybe 15 or 20 pictures of me, maybe a few more. I see this picture and I was shocked. Picture of me from the Kerry's Eye newspaper. I'm from Carseveen, from when I was about 15 years old, when I was a lot slimmer and better looking and no beard. The people I work with at CNN, the producers who I work with every day, she didn't even recognize me in the picture. So this technology was able to...
It pulls you as what? You look about what? You're in your 30s now.
Close to it,
give or
yeah,
take.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were there as a 15-year-old, we'll say, in Kerry's Eye.
In the Kerry's Eye newspaper. So just like that, if you think about that, I mean, the fact that he was able to pull a picture from a local newspaper in the southwest of Ireland, that gives you an example of just how vast this collection that he's doing is. Now, of course, the whole point of this is that he's trying to sell this service to law enforcement, which
yes,
he's doing in the United States.
And he has been doing that. That's what it was looked at by the New York Times.
Yes. So his argument is, you know, if somebody commits a crime or somebody's missing or something like that, you can run a person's face through this system and they will be able to quickly identify the person. So, for instance, if there's a terror suspect, mm-hmm, and you have CCTV footage of that person, you could take that picture, run it through the system, you'd quickly be able to identify the guy. What he says. That's what they're saying.
Well, I mean, he kind of proved it to you. Or would there have been other technology used, like just with your name as opposed to your physical or your visual details?
Yeah, so I did ask him, because obviously he knew that he was coming in to chat to me, and he knew that I'd probably ask him to run my face through the software. So I surprised him producer I work with at CNN, we also asked him on the spot to say, well, can you run her face through it? And he got a bit nervous about it because, you know, he's ultimately, even mm-hmm, as scary and dystopian as this tool is, he's trying to sell it. So he wants to prove that it works. But he just took a photo of her and was quickly able, again, in a split second,
same
to find
story,
all these photos of her. And she's not very, you know, she's not out there. She's not a public figure in any way, just her Instagram account and a few other things like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it raises all manner of questions. I suppose, again, you know, Big Brother doesn't even begin to go there. But about elements of control or who should have access to this kind of technology. What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, I think really what this company is doing is starting a massive debate, which I think is going to be going on for the rest of the century, really, of privacy and our data and who owns it. I mean, the interesting thing about this is that, you know, I, for better or worse, I post photos on Instagram, Twitter. I don't leave social media. So, you know, that's sort of my own fault. I'm out there. I'm putting the stuff out there. But my dad in Carseveen, you know, he doesn't even text. He doesn't use social media. But I, of course, and my sisters and my mom have posted pictures of him on the internet. And so I said to this guy, Hoan Ton Thatt, who runs Clearview, I said, well, is my dad in your database? And he said, yeah, he probably is. And so, you know, my dad would have never consented to get going to that database. But by the fact that he once posed in a picture with his son, me, and then I was foolish enough to put it up on the internet, he's going to be in that database too. And there's no real way of getting out of the database, do you know? And obviously, what they're trying to sell to law enforcement is a tool to say, we can identify anyone. So there shouldn't be an opt-out option.
Are there many law enforcement agencies buying this? And if they are, how much are they paying?
Yeah, that's where things get a little bit shady, I guess, with this guy. He says in the US and Canada, across the two countries, there's about 600 law enforcement agencies either using the tool or trialing the tool. He hasn't gone into details about how much they're paying for that. Now, as this story first broke in the New York Times, a lot of people said, wait, how did this tool come about? Is it even legal what he's doing? And in New Jersey, this tool was actually used in a child predator sting. So the police were messaging with a man who believed he was messaging with a child, and that man sent a selfie of himself. And they were able to run his selfie through this system to be able to basically identify who he was. So that is a case where, you know, an effective use, I guess, of this software. But the New Jersey Attorney General, who is the main in charge of all law enforcement in the state, he didn't actually know his police forces were using this tool until it was reported in the New York Times. And he has now ordered, even though the tool seems to be effective, he's ordered all law enforcement in the state to stop using it until they figure out, is this legal? Where did this guy get all the pictures from? And, you know, is this really, you know, sure, it might be effective, but is it the moral, ethical and legal thing to do?
And is he the only one providing this facial recognition technology, or is he just leader of the pack?
So what makes him a bit different is, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know, the facial recognition technology in itself now is actually pretty simple. There's a lot of people who can do this facial recognition. What makes him stand out for the crowd is how he's gone about gathering this massive database of images from Facebook, from Instagram, from the Kerry's Eye. And it's really annoyed the social media platforms.
I'd imagine, like Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, I think they've all kind of put their oar in to try and put a stop to him.
So they've sent cease and desist letters, but they're pretty much useless in that, you know, these images are out there publicly. The companies really actually have no way of stopping him pulling the images. They have no way of making sure that he's stopped pulling them or deleting them. And the law on it in the US is very murky. There's no real precedent as such. So I think what we'll start seeing over the next few years is there's being some major court cases where this tries to get figured out.
Yeah, and it hasn't reached the stage where information acquired using this technology has come before any courts that you're aware of.
Not that
I'm aware. In the United States or anywhere else.
Not that I'm aware of.
And as you say, in New Jersey, the AG has put a halt to it until they get proper, I suppose, clarification. But there's nothing maybe to stop them passing a law in the state legislature there.
Yeah, I guess it just raises all sorts of new questions. You know, I give you the example of my dad, is the fact that he consented to a photo of his son that he didn't know that his son was going to post on the internet. So there's all this sort of stuff. And of course, Facebook, they're sending these cease and desist letters, but they don't want to talk about this because this looks bad on them too. You know, their users, Facebook's users, don't want to think, oh God, if I'm putting my image up on Facebook, is it going to end in this database? And also what's quite interesting, which is not talked about, is Peter Thiel, who sits on the board of Facebook and is close with Mark Zuckerberg, was actually an early investor in this Clearview technology. And they've kept very quiet about that as well.
Now, I have to ask you, how does the Kerry man from Cathal Sabhain end up with CNN as the reporter covering disinformation politics? Mind you, there's a bit of an overlap there, I suppose, and technology of all things.
Well, Kerry people are very nosy, so he likes asking questions. I was working with Mark Little, formerly of this parish, at Storyful, which he set up about 10 years ago, which was sort of vetting what was happening on social media, videos from the Arab Spring and things like that. Eventually moved to the US with Storyful. And then I guess sort of after the 2016 election, particularly in the US, given the role of misinformation, what Russia did on social media, there was sort of a gap in the market where CNN said, you know, we need somebody who's sort of monitoring this full time. So for better or worse, I'm sort of in the trenches with the trolls every day and trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. And I suppose you're keeping an eye, obviously, on the election coming up now and what 9 months' time.
It is, November. Yeah. It's going to be a long 9 months. Yes. Yeah, I mean, well, I think the front page story, I believe, on the New York Times this morning is that senior intelligence officials in the US just recently briefed lawmakers in the past few days or weeks, saying that, you know, the sort of tricks that Russia were up to in 2016 about potentially trying to interfere in the election and even trying to help re-elect Trump is happening. I think it's going to be something that's very much on the forefront of the conversation. But, you know, I think, you know, in the US, I think there's a lot of people get very distracted on just the foreign interference without looking at, you know, the misinformation campaigns that are coming from inside the country and from the presidential campaigns itself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They have a story there. I just put it up on the iPad. Intelligence officials warned House lawmakers last week that Russia was interfering in the 2020 campaign to try to get President Trump re-elected. Five people familiar with the matter said this was a disclosure to Congress that angered Mr. Trump, who complained that Democrats would use it against them, or against him, and so they would. So do you want to call it this distance out from 2012? Who's going to be in the election come the first Tuesday in November?
I think Trump's going to be very, very hard to beat. And as we can see with the Democrats now, they're sort of tearing themselves apart, trying to figure out who they're going to try put up against them.
Yeah. Can you see Joe Biden lasting much longer in the field?
I mean, I think people are very surprised at how quickly he's sort of starting to fizzle out, you know.
Well, listen, great to have you in studio. Donny O'Sullivan, reporter for CNN, covering, I love this title, Disinformation, Politics and Technology. I suspect we'll be talking again, perhaps on the line from New York or Washington. Donny, thank you indeed.
Thanks, Sean.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.